Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You are now tuned in to the Pastor Spot, a weekly radio ministry of Community Christian Fellowship. My name is Terry Tackett, and I will turn it over now to the host of the show, Pastor Steve Whitaker. Hello, Pastor.
Hey, Terry. Good to have you here tonight. Good to be here tonight.
Thank you.
You know, it started out so cool this morning, and boy, when I got out of the office this afternoon, it was turning into quite the scorcher. We've had some pretty good rainstorms here again lately, haven't we? My word, I hope the farmers finally get stuff in. Hey, this is Pastor Steve Whitaker of Community Christian Fellowship here at WWGH. 7403-39944. Would love to have you call in if you have any questions about the show tonight, or maybe you just need a prayer request, right? You know, very possible. Hey, let's open the show in prayer. I'd like to do that tonight. Sure. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you much for your love and your blessing, and Lord, we thank you so much for your love for us, that you came and you gave your life for us so that we may be able to know you. Lord, be with the show. Lord, that if there's people out there in need, that they would call in and maybe have a prayer request that we could take and lift up to you. And we just thank you for your many, many blessings. In your name, amen.
Amen.
Well, this is Pastor Steve Whitaker. I'm pastor at Community Christian Fellowship at 209 East Water Street in Prospect, Ohio. And our phone number there, if you want to call sometime, is 740-494-2222. Or you can reach us at prospectccf.com. Well, this week is Bible School Week, so we have Bible School in the evenings. This year is across the street at St. Paul's. We do it as a community, and yeah, it's really a good time. I think we've got 10 or 11 workers over there ourselves, so that's a good thing.
A lot of kids? Or
we have had, I think last night, if I'm not mistaken, I think we ran 38, if I'm not mistaken.
Wow, that's pretty good, yeah.
So anyway, the...
is that all week now, or is that...
Yeah, that is always. It's been pretty good. Had a lot of things on my mind today, and I thought, you know, I'd read a passage. A passage is actually in 1 Peter, and it begins in verse 8. It says, "Finally, all of you, be like-minded, sympathetic, love one another, and be compassionate and humble, not paying back evil for evil or insult for insult, but on the contrary, giving a blessing, since you were called for this, so that you may inherit a blessing. For the one who wants to love life and to see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceit. And let him turn away from evil and do what is good. Let him seek peace and pursue it." You know, the it's kind of interesting today that I see so many people that are struggling to do their own thing. I hate to overuse that word, narcissism, but you know, we see a lot of it today. People just, it's all about me. What do I get? What can I, what's in it for me?
What can I gain out of it?
Selfless doesn't seem to be a word that you hear much about anymore. Someone being selfless. I guess to be selfless is to be, mean that you're doing things for other people and not for yourself. I'll tell you, today's been kind of a rough day. It was kind of heartbreak. I had a heartbreaking day. You ever have those? Mm-hmm. And my particular heartbreaking day was, my heart goes out to some people that I was dealing with today. I'm not even going to talk about or get into any particulars whatsoever. But, you know, as pastors, I think that sometimes people don't realize that we truly, truly care about people. And when things go awry or things don't go well, we hurt with them. And we get to know people, we get to care about people, and we truly, truly do hurt with them. It kind of goes with the territory, so to speak. But it's interesting when people, many times today, they come to a church, and the pastor begins to build a relationship with those people. And this has nothing to do with today, but it's kind of interesting that people will decide, first of all, they like to shop for churches like they shop for their favorite store sometimes. And they'll decide they don't like one store and start shopping at another. And they have a tendency to do the same thing at churches. Well, the problem with that, there's people within a church that they invest their own lives and love in those people. And I don't think those people always realize when they walk away, when they go somewhere else, when they do something else, they leave people kind of hanging. People care about them. People love them. And I think that people sometimes, even though maybe they don't plug into the church and never really plugged in, because if they did plug in, they wouldn't leave. You know, when you get to have a family that you know and you love and you're part of, you're going to stay with them. You're not just going to up and leave. But even though they didn't plug in, it doesn't mean the people in the church didn't plug into them. Does that make sense? Or care about them or pray about them. And, you know, we live in a society today where relationships aren't something that we hold on to or even often even try to see the importance of holding on to them. Everything just seems to be here and now. I find it interesting also that in wedding vows, people want to change up wedding vows and write their own vows today. And, you know, I'm not going to say I don't have anything against that. That's wonderful if that's what you want to do. But, you know, in the traditional wedding vows, there's a statement that says, and it is until death us do part. Okay? In other words, you're not going to depart from that person until you die. And interestingly enough, that's one of the things that people in a wedding want to take out when they do their own vows. You know, I promise to walk with you, to love with you, to share with you, to do all these things, but they don't want to put a time frame on it. And a wedding especially is something that is permanent. It is a covenant between two people and God. And today, it isn't always so much. And there's such a breakdown today in our society from young people that have been through multiple families and multiple parents and young people that they just don't see that security. They don't have anything that they can count on. And it makes it very difficult. And, you know, I'll say, too, as a pastor, I mentioned a few minutes ago that I was kind of heartbroken. And I think that any time that you're in ministry and you're in the we'll say the people business, when you stop getting heartbroken over people, it's time to get out or reexamine yourself as to where you are. Because you got to have that compassion. That passage that I just read in First Peter, which I'll turn back to. I shouldn't have shut it so quickly, but let me turn back to that real quickly. Because there's a word in there that's very important. And it says, finally, all of you be like-minded, sympathetic. What's sympathetic? To have sympathy for people. You know, so much of today is, well, I don't blame them. Or, you know, that's their fault. They knew better. They could have done this. They could have done that. Well, yeah, I'm sure they could have in many cases. Well, they should have stopped doing that 10 years ago. This wouldn't have happened. Or I told them what they could, you know, that kind of. And the point is that even though maybe that's the case, maybe you did give someone a warning about something. Maybe somebody knew, you know what, I should have quit smoking 10 years ago. And they end up with emphysema. You can still have sympathy for the person that has it. You know what I mean? Doesn't approach the situation right at work, and you tell them you keep it up, they're going to lose their job, and they end up losing. You can still have sympathy because they lost their job, right? Or whatever the case may be. But it says, finally, you be like-minded and sympathetic. Love one another and be compassionate and humble. What's that word? Love one another and be compassionate and humble. You have compassion for people. I think that we're lacking so much compassion today. And then that part, be humble. Terry, how do we be humble today? I mean, nobody wants to be humble. Everybody wants to elevate themselves. Everybody wants their opinion, their thought. And we see that over and over again. But understand something, too. Being humble does not mean that you're not assertive. It doesn't mean that you don't hold strong convictions and stand on those. You can be humble and still do those things. And we've mixed so many messages in our society today that people don't know really where to think or where they're supposed to come from. In other words, to them, if I said be humble, it means that you would just be there and bow your head and never say anything and never defend yourself or defend anything else, especially God. How dare you defend him? I saw something interesting the other day. A a friend of mine had put something on social media that how do I put it? There was some truth to it, but it was somewhat lighthearted too. And it was an ironic situation. And immediately someone attacked them for their Christianity. Oh, some Christian you are. I mean, come on, give us a break. I mean, Christians aren't allowed to have opinions. Christians aren't allowed to tell jokes. You see what I mean? And it seems to be that many people quickly want to attack people for being a Christian and that you're not supposed to have a voice. Well, of course we have a voice. We have a voice in everything just like anyone else. It doesn't mean that you're not compassionate if you disagree with something. It doesn't mean that you don't have love. It doesn't mean that you don't care. But matter of fact, I would argue that speaking out and being honest shows far more love and compassion than somebody that says it's all good all the time. Because all they're wanting is approval from that other person. They don't want anyone angry with them, right? So, and I think that if we don't begin in society to start getting a hold of some of these things real quickly, things are just too confusing out there. I've heard more people say to me, I don't know how to act. I don't know what to say. I don't know when I'm saying something that's out of line or not out of line. You ever hear someone say that? Because there's so many questions today, and people don't know. No, well, I didn't think I was saying anything wrong. You ever hear that? Did you ever say something and someone, you had to come back with a, I didn't think I was saying anything wrong. But something's going to offend somebody all the time. You know what? I liked the olden days when we could just be offended and let it ride. And not make a big deal about every little thing. Whatever happened to, you ready for this one? I know you remember it. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Remember that one? Everyone used to say that. My kids on the playground would say that. Somebody was giving them a hard time. Remember that? Sticks and stones will break my bones, but name, and you went on your own way, didn't you? And but today it seems like, you know, names are just beaten up on people. Everything's beaten up on people. If I had to worry about what people called me and said about me, I'd crawl under a rock a whole long time ago. It was bad enough, Terry, being short, but then I became short and fat. And now I'm short, fat, and old, and I'd partially bald into it. Man, I'm done. I'm just done for. And I saw a picture of me the other day. I thought, wow, no wonder no one takes me seriously anymore. But the point is, we should be able to joke about those things. You know what I mean? About our background, about, you know, whatever those things are. You know, there's old stereotypes that people get so offended about, you know. You know, for instance, people would make jokes about Jewish people, you know, and their money being good. You know, at the bottom line, you know, the truth of the matter is, quite frankly, most Jewish people that are business people are very good with money. Now, where that came from, whether it comes from Old Testament law or whether it comes from strict things they adhered to or whether it comes from always being a persecuted people since time began, maybe that's what's made, but they do. They are good with money. And people joke, how dare you, man? That was anti-Semitic. No, it wasn't. It was kind of the truth. Most Jewish people are good with money. You know, that's just the way that is. And, you know, people make jokes about, you know, Italians and Italians, you know, spaghetti people. And or you know, we used to always joke in the construction profession that, you know, all the Italian people were always cement masons and whatnot. I remember a friend of mine that was Italian. They had their first baby, and I told him, I said, you know, I was shopping last night for a present for your baby, but I couldn't find a rattle trowel anywhere. And he loved it, and he laughed. But, you know, some people think, you know, Pastor, that was awfully insensitive. Yeah. And, I mean, give it a break. You know, give us a break. There are things that are malicious. And there are things that are just common everyday things that we need to, quite frankly, do we need to get a life, Terry? What do you think? What's your opinion on some
get,
of this?
Get a grip on our lives.
Get a grip on our lives. It just isn't. Quit crying at every corner.
Everything.
But everything is so offensive.
Yeah.
And yet, you know, we do everything to keep feeding into that. Not just that, but also everything has to be. We're painted a picture of what we're to look like, talk like, walk like. I mean, do you ever walk into a department store and look at the pictures of the people on the signs that are advertising the models. I mean, is that what we're supposed to look like? I guess. I don't know. No wonder people feel insecure about the way they look, right? Mm-hmm. And you have kids that their entire identity appears to be what they see on Facebook and what their friends say about them. I came up with a perfect solution to stop internet bullying. Are you ready for it? Mm-hmm. Turn the phone off. Nobody can bully you on Facebook or on Instagram or anything else if you just shut it off. See, the whole thing about me, if I were to, say I wanted to attack you on one of these social medias, and I wanted to really make you feel bad, I'm going to put some stuff out there about you, and I'm going to get other people to respond that's just going to crush you. Well, if you're never going to see it, what's the point? So my point is, shut it off. Yeah. Turn it off. You want to stop internet bullying? Shut the phone off. You don't need to be on there if that's what it's going to be about. If kids are caught doing it to other kids, take their phone away, Mom and Dad. And I mean take it away. You know, I was thrilled to death. I heard the other day that our school system at our particular school is going to stop allowing phones in the classroom this year. I thought, thank you, Lord. And I've heard several school systems following suit. Get them out of there. Because when I'm in school, all I see in the upper grades is when I'm in a classroom is I see kids and they're hitting it Instagram and back and forth and back and forth. And you know, some of it doesn't belong. And they're there to learn. And they're there to learn and go home. And that's what it's about. That's what it should be about. And we need to get back to some of those things.
And as I say, anymore, it's what, you know, what shirt are you wearing? What pair of pants, you know, or how, you know, what that doesn't coordinate with this. And
hey, I'll tell you what, I do FCA huddle at Elgin, and I had a couple shirts printed up, and I had an E put over the shirt pocket for the school, obviously. And somebody made a big deal because they thought the E was too big and it looked hideous. I don't know. I had some shirts made and told them to put the school E on there. I didn't tell them what size to put on. It's not that big. But that's my whole point. People nitpick these little things that don't matter. I mean, they really, really don't matter.
Yeah.
And it's just, are we that insecure today, Terry?
I don't, like I say, I just, you know, I think it's the craziest thing. I mean, it's, I don't know what else even... It just seems
I think in a way we are.
Anymore, no matter anything you do, you're mm-hmm. scrutinized.
You know, it's kind of funny. I drive my self-worth from what does God think about me, okay? And if I'm okay with how I feel God thinks about me and what I'm doing, I'm always trying to strive to please Him and not people. I really don't give a flying goose what people say about me. I mean, I want people to like me, don't get me wrong, because in ministry, they better like you or they're not going to listen to you. But it's not because I want them to like me, I want them to like God. And I hope that they see some of that through me. But we get so caught up in that stuff. I'll tell you, it just saddens me. When I look at that passage we just read about doing what's right and about compassion and about caring about other people and loving other people, I see so little of that today, Terry. Even amongst Christians, I have to be honest, people are constantly sharing the vacations they go on and the trips here and look what I got to do and look what I just bought or look at this and look at that. But I wish I saw more people sharing things like, okay, here we are in such and such a place, reaching out to these people that need A, B, or C. Or here we are, you know, isn't that what we're supposed to be doing? Isn't that what should give us the joy in life to know that we're serving other people and not constantly serving ourselves? I tried that self-serving stuff for a long time. Trust me, it doesn't work. It doesn't do a thing for you. You know, all it does is make you unhappy. All it does is make you want more. It just doesn't work. And I think that in the church especially, of all places, that's something that people should understand that and strive to. I'm thrilled. I'll tell you, I'm thrilled to death this week. I'm at Bible school this week, and we have a whole bunch of people from our church working there. And what great fun it is, right? Well, no, not really. Yeah. When you look at the grand scheme of what would be fun, mm-hmm. right? How many people want to take an evening, take 2.5 hours out of an evening, and go take care of a bunch of young kids? And keep them in line and take them from class to class and sing with them. You know, I have to be honest with you. I'm not real big on the hand motions anymore. You know, to stand there and sing a song and do hand motions and do all this different stuff, I don't get my kicks that way. I got to be honest. But I do it. I'm doing it because I do it because the kids expect me to. And I want to be there and encourage. But see, that's the whole thing. What joy there is in seeing all those kids having a good time and getting to know those kids and seeing them smile at you and want to give you a high five and excited to come in for Bible school. That's what it's about, man. It's not about feeding me and my desires constantly. And I wish more people would just get plugged in and do that stuff, Terry. It's not hard to do either. Everybody needs a mentor of some time at some point in their life. And it's not that hard to do. Churches are begging for people to come alongside and help support and do those things. And there's just not nearly enough of it. We so much want to keep ourselves happy today, don't we? And keep our youth. Isn't that important, keep our youth right? No, it's not. Well, I want to keep my health. But really, youth, you know, God's going to take me in His time whenever that is. In the meantime, I really don't need to dye my hair. I really don't need to dye my beard. I really don't need to try to look like I'm 20. I'm 61 years old. I had to think about that a minute. I am 61 years old. And I would think at 61, I should probably look like I'm 61. Isn't that a possibility? Now, but, you know, society says, no, don't do that. You got to try to look as young as you can, as long as you can, because you've got to somehow appeal to youth. You cannot add a day to your life, not one day, not even 1 second to your life, with Grecian formula. Did you know that? Not one day to one, not 1 second to your life. There isn't a facelift in the world that is going to add one moment to your life. When your number's up, your number's up.
That's right.
And I think we should stay healthy.
Yeah.
I strive to.
Oh, yeah.
The older I get, the metabolism keeps slowing down.
It's tough, yeah.
You know,
it's
just going down to nothing.
Yeah.
And it's harder and harder to keep weight off. And I'm such an active person that for me to actually burn energy to lose weight, I got to be super, super active because I walk nonstop. I told somebody the other day that I had tried a pedometer for a day that hook on your pants, and they asked me, he said, well, Steve, did it start smoking and burn up? Because I walk that much. And but so if I want to go above and beyond that, which is what you need to burn calories, then I really got exercise. I don't feel like doing that much. maybe mowing the lawn. And I tried out Planet Fitness, and they told me it wasn't Planet Fatness and not to come back. And so they said, if you want to use the tanning bed or the massage chair, that's fine. But we don't want you breaking a leg on one of our machines. No, they didn't say that, but you know, you kind of feel like that sometimes.
Yeah.
But you know, you just, why can't we get back to reality? Why can't we just go back to what the Bible says we should be doing with our lives, in our lives, with our families? Do you know, Terry? And I can challenge you on this because I know I'll win.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, challenges are great when you know you win, right?
Uh-huh.
Kind of like that guy that there was the TV show where the guy got the news a day ahead of time. If you live your life according to the way the Bible tells you to live your life, you will not live in sorrow. You will not live in fear. You will not live regretting life. You will live enjoying life. You will live reaching for tomorrow, and you'll live life in eternity. Your marriage will be fine. Your family will be fine. Even when tragedy happens, you realize the Lord's right beside you. And why wouldn't anyone want to do those things? But the problem is world and society is pulling us further and further and further away from that because it's not God they want. See, man wants to serve man so that when they reject God, they do everything they can to push him out of society because they don't want to think about it. See, I don't believe that it's ever a matter of people just believing something different. I think that you do one of two things. You either accept God or you reject God. And if you reject God, there's a part of you that knows you probably should have accepted God. So what you want to do is you want to push God out of the picture so you don't have to think about God. You see what I mean? So now what are you going to do? Well, let's get him out of the school. I don't want my kids hearing about it. I don't want to hear about it. Let's get God out of school. Let's get God out of government, because why can't we just have a government and not even have to think about God at all? You know, separation in church and state is not in the Constitution. Never was in the Constitution. It was actually a letter written to a pastor from, my mind just went blank on me. Help me out. Who wrote the letter, Terry? My mind's going blank on me. Someone call and tell me. My mind just went blank. Thomas Jefferson, thank you. Thomas Jefferson wrote the letter, and he was encouraging this pastor, that no, the state can't come in and mess with the church. And this whole thing's been flipped around to derive. We're not supposed to have a church-run government. I don't mean that. But there's no reason. We've been a country that has loved and embraced religion from the beginning, and there's no reason that it shouldn't be a part of every aspect of our lives, and it needs to be. But they pushed that out of there, and people don't want you. People complain about everything. Why don't you take crosses down in cemeteries? I mean, how crazy is that? You know what I mean? Taking in God We Trust off this and that, and all this, taking it out of the Pledge of Allegiance, one nation under God. I don't want to, you know, that. Why not? If you don't want to say it, don't say it. If you don't want to pray, don't pray. Right? You know, no one was ever forced to pray in school. That's what I don't understand. You know, when they took prayer out of that, it was never a forced prayer. So if someone wants to pray, let them pray. And all of these things, we've pushed God out of our society. And then we want to blame God when society's a mess. Oh, if God, there was really a God, why does he let this happen? I don't know. Why'd you push him out? Why'd you push him away? You don't want him in your schools, and look what's happening. I want to tell you something. Prior to God being pushed out of the schools, you didn't see what's going on in the schools today going on in schools. You didn't. Someone say, oh, pastor, that has nothing to do with that. Really? I don't know, does it? You know, I have to ask that question. And, you know, we continually want to be, I don't think that we want to be reminded when we're wrong. I don't think that we want to be reminded when we're doing things we shouldn't do. Does anybody? Who likes guilt? Nobody likes to feel guilty. So if we can push God out of the picture, we don't have to feel that way. If we can just shut people up, right? Hey, if you're committing adultery on your wife, do you want someone constantly reminding you that, hey, what you're doing is wrong, and you're committing adultery? Of course you don't. You want left alone. You want to be the good guy you've always been in other people's eyes and in your own mind. You know, we think of this picture that we dream up of ourselves, and we want to live in that little fantasy world. Well, guess what, folks? It's not real. And reality does matter. Because trust me, in the end, you're going to get a dose of reality. You know, I want to go to reality with what I know to be real and what's right. Because it's going to come up and face me one way or the other. You know, the Bible says at the end that every knee will bow. Now, you're either going to bow in joy or you're going to bow in shame. Which one's it going to be? But the Bible says that every knee will bow before God. I firmly believe that. As I look out in the world and I see everything around me, it just amazes me so much that this awesome God that we have, that, Terry, how big must God be to have created everything the way that he did and in the complex manner in which he did? That's a big God, man.
Yeah, it's got to be you, yeah.
I mean, an unbelievable God. I was walking in the room the other night. Well, last night I went and walked in the bedroom and I stubbed my toe. Surprise, surprise. And then this morning, it was still dark out, and I got up and went in to use the bathroom, and I came back, and I could see just fine. But no light had changed. And it was because what had happened? What had happened to my eye? My lens had retracted and opened back up, right? Oh, yeah. the iris. Oh. And your pupils get small and big depending on the light that is allowed to be let in and let out and that kind of thing. I'm thinking, wow, that was a neat thing to evolve. Come on, man. There's no way something like that evolves. That automatically when you go into the light, your eye, you know, goes down to not let as much light in. And then when you're in the dark, give me a break. You know, in every complex part of our body, it was funny. We were in I was talking to a high school student in study hall 2 years ago, and a couple of them actually, and they told me they had just finished an anatomy class. And this kid looked at me, and this kid is not churched at all, never been in church. And he said, you know what, after going through anatomy class, anybody that doesn't believe there's a God has lost their mind. There has to be a God. Unless you choose to reject God, God's still there. But you can choose to reject him. But common sense will tell you that there has to be a God. Do you know how many valves are in your body that open and close to let blood in and out here? I don't either, Terry. I forgot. It's been a long time since that part of schooling. But the truth of the matter is, they're all through our body. Every capillary, every vein, every artery has things that open and show and regulate pressures. And it's just amazing. You know, just the transfer of from breathing in oxygen, re-energizing our blood cells with fresh oxygen, and that whole cycle going through, that stuff doesn't evolve. Have we lost our ever-loving minds? I mean, really, none of this stuff makes sense. All that it is a weak attempt at non-belief. That's all it is. It's a weak attempt at non-belief. But when you promote it over and 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 tell everyone this is the only way, this is what happened, they just automatically believe and they don't even think for themselves. I have never seen a generation in my life like this one that literally never thinks for themselves. Every situation that you look at that's going on in the world, if people would stop, think, investigate, and really look at it, they'd scratch their head and say, why did I think that way? Well, it's the easy reason you thought that way. Because someone told you to. The media told you to think this way, or that it was this way or that way. Or they taught you that over something in school, that you're to think this way. But do you know that when you sit down with your kids in school today, if you watch the stuff, and everyone thinks being done by video today. I mean, school books have gone out the window. I mean, it's all being played out on a Chromebook or some type of media that way. And every class practically begins with billions and billions and billions of years ago when you, really? Really? Who says? No, who really says that? I mean, what proof do you have? What are you around billions and billions? Yeah. And there is no linking evidence, real linking evidence to that. If you look at the stratas of our Earth, I had to laugh the other day. I saw a thing that they had just found a wooden hammer embedded in 400 million-year-old bedrock. Well, wait a minute. 400 million years ago, we were a bunch of slimy fish. What were we doing with a wooden hammer? You see where I'm at? Mm-hmm. Do you know every strata layer and everything that you can look at in this earth? And if you really study this stuff, it's cool. But can be totally explained by the biblical flood and what it did. Everything can. And yet people just, because they have chose, educators 100 years ago decided that we're not going to believe this. We don't want to believe this. And we are going to infiltrate the entire education system till we push it completely out the door. So now, think about this, Terry. If you're a little kid and you're in kindergarten and you're going to watch something on a movie, so there you're up there on the screen, you know, eyes glued. Billions and billions and billions. You hit first grade, billions and billions, second grade, billions. By the time you're, and people say, I don't want my kids to be told about God. I'll let them make their decision when they're an adult. Really? By the time they're an adult, they have been told that Christians are just old-fashioned bigots. They've been told their parents are silly if they take them to church. They've been told that, at least a church that teaches any truth. They've been told that you know, creation is a joke. and they've been fed this to them, how are they then going to walk out and weigh things? They're not even going to bother weighing. They just go forward with the automatic belief that this is the way that it is, and you people are all crazy and old-fashioned and nuts. And that's exactly what's happening. Because now I'm seeing these kids come out of school. And when you actually sit down with them and talk like we're talking now, you can see all the wheels turning in their mind. And they're thinking, wait a minute. I did a youth Bible study a few years ago. It was called Revolt. And it was about basically laying these things out to kids and having them revolt against the lies they've been fed and the things that they've been told that are just so false. You know, what kind of things are going to make you happy today, Terry? Money? There's no happiness in money. It's nice to be able to get your bills paid and breathe, but money doesn't buy anyone happiness. How about super being great at athletics? You can only be so good. It doesn't last forever. What about beauty? Beauty's fleeting, you know. I see these women that are 65, 70 years old still trying to look like they're 20. And quite frankly, it's not a good... And the men, you know, the comb-overs, mm-hmm. you know, the comb-overs, the...
Going to the tanning beds and...
Oh, just everything. It's, come on, folks, accept who you are. God loves you. He made you.
Yeah.
He made you to age the way you are. He made you to look the way that you are. Wow. You know what I mean? I don't understand why.
But the concept of it, you know, is... Well, how much do you always see, you know, like you said earlier, dyeing hair and, you know, and doing this and that and got to stay 10 years younger.
I got a brother doing it.
Got to look 10 years younger.
My brother's 65 years old and he still talks. And I shouldn't say this. I'm not going there. I didn't say that. Never mind. My brother is very caught up in youth.
Oh.
And I love the guy. And he's a great guy. And maybe that makes him feel better. Maybe his congregation likes it. I don't know. But you know, one of these days, he's going to realize that he's not a kid anymore.
Right.
And he's going to say, but I still look young. And sometimes I like to gracefully go into older age. Whatever happened to wisdom? See, when we tossed wisdom out the window of older people having wisdom, nobody wanted to look old anymore. Think about it.
Oh, yeah.
Think about that.
Yeah, yeah.
If all the intelligence is in the youth, why do you want to look old? You're just an old fuddy-duddy.
Yeah, right.
I know old fuddy-duddy is an old fuddy-duddy word to use.
Yeah, well, like I say, how often do you hear that phrase? We want new ideas. We want, you know.
Mm-hmm. We want fresh stuff.
Yeah,
that's
fresh.
That's a cat buzzword, yeah, fresh. We want fresh ideas.
Yeah.
You know, we're on the edge of cutting edge this.
Uh-huh.
You know, on and on it goes. You know, that's old. You know, And we even get it in the church, because I know that in Christian music, anything older than 10 years old is old music. They don't want you to play it. I mean, what about those old diehard hymns that people sang for hundreds of years that had so much meaning to them?
Absolutely.
And they still do.
Oh, yeah.
When I was a kid in high school, I listened to the same rock music that kids will listen to today, because half of them are listening to what we listened to back then. Mm-hmm. Same bands. Yeah, and now they're really getting old. But anyway, I didn't come to church and expect to hear that. I listened to that music, but I came to church and I expected music that was going to honor God. And those old diehard hymns that I still know the words to and still take comfort in the words that they said. I'm not saying that modern music doesn't have that. I'm saying don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. And we have a tendency to want to do that today, you know.
Yeah.
Boy, I've been rambling a lot on the show tonight. That's okay. You know, I
You had a message to get across.
Well, you know, you have these things on your mind, and it breaks my heart so much. And it really, when I say it breaks my heart, it's because it does. And to see people that I love hurt themselves, to hurt their relationships, to walk away from things that are sacred and precious, to break families up, to do all these things that are only going to bring them sadness and grief. Man, it hurts me, man. It tears me up. And I want people to understand that they can have more in life. You know, they truly, truly can. And they just... It's just like there are a bunch of drones that keep marching towards the edge of the cliff. It's like, why are you doing this? You know, our Bible school this week, you know, parents could drop their kids off at Bible school in Prospect. It's 5:30 in the evening, by the way. We've got two more nights of it. They could drop their kids off, go to the grocery store for an hour, go hang out, relax, do whatever. Why not?
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah. Take advantage of.
There's people that are watching your kids are going to have a blast.
Yeah.
Give them snacks. I mean,
but in the meantime, what's the biggest excuse why people don't? I can't find a babysitter.
Yeah, exactly. Well, there's your babysitter, folks.
I'm just saying.
Or you know,
what's
I don't.
The one guy, here's your son.
Or my, you know, I don't know. It's crazy. But anyway, you know, I want to let you guys know something. This is an honest truth from the bottom of my heart. I love you out there. Even if I don't know you or ever seen you, I love you because God made you, and you're important to God. And if you're important to God, you're important to me. I just want you to know that. And I'm trying to shepherd a flock of people at Community Christian Fellowship with that same mentality of, yes, we love you, and yes, you are important to us. And I believe that God is working in those people's lives, and they do take that attitude. And they do love the kids in the community and everyone around. And why people wouldn't want to plug in and take advantage of that, I don't understand. They need to. I don't want to hear you've been burnt somewhere before. We all get burned. We get back up. You know, I don't know anybody's been burned much more than I have. But, you know, love allows you to keep moving forward. It truly does. You know, God loves you guys, and so do I, and I mean that. And, hey, come see us, Community Christian Fellowship, 209 East Water Street in Prospect. Our number is 740-494-2222, and we are out. God bless you, Terry.
God bless you. Thanks, everybody.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP Marion.